Welcome, everybody. It's great that you're here. And we praise God for all that he's doing amongst us. Would you turn with me in your Bible this morning, please, to Colossians chapter 1. No, sorry, I'm going to change that. Forgive me. I'm going to take you first to Ephesians chapter 1. Forgive me for that. But now you find Colossians, you'll find it when you need it. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse, in this Bible it says 15/16, so it's round about there. You'll recognize it when I get there. I'm reading from the Truth, which is the translation done by Pastor Colin. So it might be a little different from your version, but it's meant to be more contemporary and understandable. In fact, he told me the other day that they recently sent a caseload of these to a prison as a gift. Within a week, six prisoners got saved just by reading it. And he said, just because they understood it, that's why they got saved. So Bibles are meant to be understood. They're not meant to be mysteries that kind of leave you confused as to what God is possibly saying to you. So we got some there in the back. We hunt him. If you're interested, they're £10 a copy. And in June, he's bringing out a new print version, which will be like a normal Bible that will remain open when you open it. It will be leather-bound if you want it, or soft cover, and it'll be like your normal Bible that stays open when you open it. With this one, a little tricky at the moment. So just so you know, that'll be available at Faith Camp, and then after that, we'll have stock over here for you to use as well. Okay, that's great. Here come the main dudes. We're glad you came to join us, dudes. Okay, so I'm going to read for you. Ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the way you love your fellow saints, those who also belong to him, I've been continually thankful that you also share in his life. So I keep remembering you when I pray. I ask that the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may impart to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who he is and what he has done for you, so that you will come to know him better. I also pray for your heart to be filled with light, that you will see for yourself and know in your experience the hope to which he has called you, the purpose he wants to see fulfilled in your life. What is this hope? That his saints, all those who belong to him, will enjoy the riches of a glorious inheritance, and that they may also know his power working in them because they believe in him. A power so great that it cannot be compared with any other power. Isn't that amazing? He wants you to know this great power that's working in you that is greater than any other known power. What is the most powerful thing we know on the earth? Probably an atomic bomb, a nuclear bomb, would be regarded as the most powerful single thing on the earth. Yeah, you agree? But God says in his word that this power is in you is greater than any known power on the earth. What does that say to you? It's like, oh, that's cool, that's nice. I mean, you're greater than an atomic bomb sitting here right now. There's a room full of nuclear bombs sitting in this one room, or as the Americans say, nuclear bombs. And we're still quite cool about that. That's amazing. You have an example of this power, of exactly how mighty it is in the resurrection of Christ. Yes, the power that raised him from the dead and caused him to be seated in heaven at his Father's right hand is that same power which is within you now. That's cool. Cool. Oh, that's nice. What are we having after? Is it cake? Is it coffee? What's the time? Is he going on too long? That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you right now. That incredible power of heaven is in you at this moment. That same power of the Spirit which entered that tomb and caused Jesus' body to come back to life and walk out of that tomb is the same power that's in every one of us who believe. Amira got saved last Sunday in the meeting. The moment she made her declaration, that power entered her. It quickened her mortal body, the Bible says. It gave life to her body right away. That power entered her body, and she was transformed by that power. Thank you, Jesus. As a result of this power, Jesus is now reigning far above every other ruler, authority, power, and dominion. He is greater than anyone else could ever be, not only in this present age, but also in the future age that he will inaugurate. He's greater. There isn't a greater power than Jesus right now. God has placed everything under Jesus' feet. He has appointed him to have authority over everything for the sake of the church, which is his body on the earth. So he has all authority for all of us because we belong to him. And he intends the fullness of Christ's life to fill everything in every way. First, the church. What is the church? This building? What is the church? You're the church. The church is the people. If we weren't in this building, we'd still be the church. So he has caused this power. His intention is the fullness of Christ's life will fill everything in every way. First in you, then in this whole new creation which will come through you. This power, his power. It doesn't matter if you're feeling ill. Doesn't matter if you're feeling tired. Doesn't change the power. The power doesn't have different levels. They've got a thermostat. And when you're feeling a little less exuberant, the power gets turned down. It's all there in you at any given moment. Chapter 2. What you are now is in direct contrast to what you used to be. What were we once? Dead. Absolutely. Once you were spiritually dead because your lives were full of sin and disobedience to God's word. That is how you used to live when you lived according to the world's standards, because you were subject to God's enemy, belonged to his negative kingdom of darkness, and were controlled by the Spirit who still works in those who are disobedient. Who are the disobedient? The people who haven't yielded their lives to Jesus. Because it's God's plan that all men would be saved. People who don't are the disobedient. Okay, so what has happened is that that power is working in our lives at any given time. And before we were like the rest of the people, but he's made us alive. He's brought us from death to life. All of us at one time shared in that ungodly lifestyle, longing to satisfy our flesh. What's your flesh? Touch your flesh. What this wanted is what I wanted to satisfy. Feed me. Make me feel important. Let me chill out. I want to watch television. I want to watch iPods. I want to do fun stuff. I don't want to do this boring stuff called God. That's how you used to live according to the Bible. But now you've been made alive with Christ and you now are different from all of those guys anymore. All of us shared in this ungodly lifestyle at one time, longing to satisfy our flesh. It's a lifestyle out there of, I got to satisfy my flesh no matter what happens. My flesh matters the most. What is my flesh? I need to be satisfied. My mind says, this is right, that is wrong. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what you're saying. Make me important. I want to be famous. I want to be a celebrity. Because then my flesh will be happy. And I'll have lots of money. And I'll never have to work ever again. That's what my flesh says. But Christ has redeemed us from that. You're not needing to be satisfied by your flesh anymore. You are set free from your flesh dictating what satisfies you now. You have a choice. Which you didn't have before. But you got a choice now. Isn't that amazing? That is brilliant. We all sought to gratify our fleshly desires, and sin filled much to our thinking. Sin filled much of our thinking. Just like everyone else, we were subjects of God's anger because of our sinful disposition. So not only were we so busy satisfying our flesh, satisfying our needs, my ideas, my dreams, my vision, my life matters more than anything else. Because of that attitude, we were subject to God's anger, his wrath. That's where we lived. We didn't know it, but we did. That's where we lived. Despite all this, because of his great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy, and because he loves us so much, actually brought us to life with Christ even when we were spiritually dead because of our sins. He brought you alive. That's what happened to Mary last Sunday. She became spiritually alive. She came from death into life. Now it's going to get reversed. I'll tell you all about it in a moment. What a wonderful work of His grace to save us out of the death and darkness of sin, out of the hands of the evil one who we once served. You know, if you tell people who aren't in Christ, you're serving the devil, they call you a liar. They'll say, absolutely not. I'm a morally good person. I vote. I pay my taxes. I work. I'm not morally corrupt. But God says, you're my enemy if you do not receive my Son as your Savior. That's a frightening thought. Wow. Wow. Let's have a look back there at verse 16 again. God says, Paul says he's been continually thanking us. First he says, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the way you love your fellow saints who also belong to Him, I've been continually thanking, being continually thankful that you also share in His life. What's that say? Does it mean I've got to love the Anglicans? Does it mean I've got to love the Catholics? Does it mean I've got to love the Pentecostals? Does it mean I've got to love the Presbyterian Salvation Army? Yes. More significantly, right now, it means you've got to love the person next to you. It means the people in this room have got to be objects of our love for one another. It doesn't matter if they're different color, different race, different nationality, different country. We've got to love them because God says, that's what you do now. When I've set you free from the old system, the new system says you're free to love. You're free to love everybody who belongs to me. You know what one of the greatest things that I discovered was when God said to me that people from other churches are not His enemies, just like I'm not His enemy. And I had to say, wow, wow. Just because they don't do it like we do it doesn't mean they're His enemy. They're His friends, just like I'm His friend. So I better love who He loves. Okay. Now, here comes the good bit. I ask, verse 17, I ask the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that He may impart to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of who He is and what He has done for you so that you will come to know Him better. This is the most important thing you and I can have in our life, is the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know Him better. Without the spirit of wisdom and revelation, we only walk around like automatons on this world. But the wisdom that comes by the spirit is the wisdom that helps us understand the word, understand who God is, and understand what God has done for us. That's the wisdom that we need when we look at things. When we meet people who have particularly interesting theologies, and you listen to what they're saying, and you think, what on earth are you talking about? I mean, these guys from the Salvation Army came to my door the other day, and they knocked on my door, and they came in, and they said, not Salvation, sorry, these Jehovah's Witnesses. And they stood there, and they looked very more, hello, we'd like to share some spiritual truths with you this morning. I said, how lovely, who are you? And they introduced, I said, are you Jehovah's Witnesses? They said, yes, we are. I said, then I understand where you're coming from. What is the truth you want to share with me this morning? So she got talking to me, these two ladies, they're really clipped, they're really cool the way they do this. And then she said to me, I said, I go to church. I'm a born again, spirit-filled child of God. I worship Jesus. I go to church. She said, yes, but what do you do in your church? Do you go out on missions to get people saved? I said, yeah, we're increasingly doing that now. She says, great, because that's all you've got to be doing. I said, yeah. The other thing is we really want to raise the dead. She says, how ridiculous. I said, why? She says, well, if you raise the dead, nobody will ever go to heaven. So I said, well, Jesus raised the dead. Paul raised the dead. Peter raised the dead. Is this a problem? Yeah, but you see, you've got to understand something. The Spirit is not God's Spirit, and it's not part of the Holy Spirit. It's God's Spirit, but it's not part of the Godhead. It's just a Spirit. And Jesus wasn't really God's Son. He was just a prophet. I said, okay. Now, if I didn't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, I could have looked at these people and said, whoa, you are such nice, godly people. Look at you. You're doing all this good stuff on the street. You're really nice people. But I immediately understood the thing. I said, but you know, we see the sick healed. She says, oh, the devil can masquerade that anytime you like. She knew more about the devil than she knew about Jesus. And you could see there are people who will try to deceive you because they're flowing in a different spirit than the Holy Spirit. They're flowing with a different revelation of God. And you and I need the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can know Him better. We know who He is so that we can counter these rubbish arguments that people bring to us. But now listen to this. He says, I ask the glorious Father of the Lord Jesus in the power of the Spirit, I've said, drop verse 18. I also pray for your heart to be filled with light that you may see for yourself and know in your experience the hope to which He has called you, the purpose He wants to see fulfilled in your life. What is this hope? That His saints, all those who belong to Him, will enjoy the riches of a glorious inheritance and that they may also know His power working in them because they believe in Him, a power so great that it cannot be compared with any other power. Now, if that is in you, Ezekiel, what does that mean in your life? If that is in your life, Stephen, if that is in your life, Yatsik, what does that mean if that power is at work in you? Can I ask you something? Why do we not see revival in the church? Why do we not see something like happened in the Wales at the beginning of last century, or in the Hebrides in 1947, on Azusa Street in 1902? Why don't we see those things happening now? Where do you think revival comes from? Not a trick question. The Bible's already told us. Revival comes from you. You see, at Pentecost, they waited for the Spirit to come. They waited 10 days. And when the Spirit came, they took revival onto the streets and changed. And 3,000 men got saved in one go. That Spirit now lives in you. The same Spirit that did that at Pentecost lives in you. That same Spirit is all that is needed to bring about a mighty move of God wherever you are. You don't need another Holy Spirit visitation. You don't praying, Lord God, send us revival, is a totally unbiblical thing to pray. You've already got the seed of revival inside of each one of us. Revival's inside of me because I have all of this inside of me right now. I don't need revival to come from somewhere else. I don't need Betty Hinn or Bill Johnson to come and bring me revival here. I've got revival in me. I just don't know it. I think I'm going to go to somebody else who's going to come and give it to me. Now, it's great to get other guys' ministries and get enriched and envisioned by their ministry. But our whole life is not dependent on somebody else because it's all in you right now. In you right now is the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in you right now. Right now, revival is in you. The seed of revival is in your life. So why don't we see it happen? Why don't we see the dead being raised? Why don't we see the sick healed the way we'd like to see them healed? The way Jesus said we should see them healed. Why don't we see more people saved? Why do we go on the streets and see nobody saved? Why does that happen? What's the problem? If this is who God says we are, we ought to be the most dangerous people that walk on this earth to the devil. But we don't see it. Why? What's happened? There's an interesting bit of scripture in John chapter 12. Jesus was about to go to the cross, and he made a really interesting statement. He said, unless a seed of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains just one seed. But if it dies, it produces many seed after its own kind. Why would he say that? For the same reason the Apostle Paul had this revelation, because he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why when Paul walks into town revival happens. Because Paul says, I no longer live. Just like Jesus said, when I fall into the ground and die, I will produce a harvest many times in my own life. Can I tell you what the problem is? It's one letter in this word. It's I and the problem. I still get in the way of what God wants to do. So when I come to heal the sick, I think, oh, let me think of all the scriptures I know that speak of healing. Let's say those scriptures. By his stripes you are healed. You know, it's like Harry Potter. It's like saying magic words to think something will happen. In the name of Jesus, if you say it as a magic word, nothing's going to happen. Jesus said, when you know the truth will make you free. He wasn't talking about a word that made you free. It's the world vision. It's the understanding and the positioning of that truth that makes you free. If you say it just as words, you might as well be doing Harry Potter, because it's going to have as much good effect, which is zero. But when I no longer live and I understand this power that has now come to live in me, and I understand this every moment of every day, that I am living in this communion with this power, and I no longer cease to keep my own life alive, I no longer seek to say, but I matter, then that power begins to work through my life. He has given us everything we need. The full Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is right now in you, Tunda. Right now, that Spirit is in you. More powerful than a nuclear bomb. That power is in you. That power can raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. That power can speak to people and they will get saved. That power says you can walk on water. That power says you can multiply bread just by breaking it and you'll feed 100, 500 people. That same power is in you right now at this moment. You don't need to go to heaven. You don't need someone else to come and bring it to you. You don't need Benny Hinn to come and lay hands on you. You just need to take all of what's inside of you because you believe it and you release it because I have died. God is really not interested in I. Because the Son showed us that whoever wants this power has to follow Him to the cross. I have to die to my own life, my own aspirations, my own dreams, my own what I want. And you know, you get so many people say, why do we see more power in the church? Why do we see the sick here? Why do we see miracles? Why do we see signs and wonders? And it's for that simple reason. If we can get I out of the way, we will see them. Do you remember a couple of weeks back I sent you a text and I said this statement to you? Only those who have been through the cross can produce the fruit of the risen Christ. Only those who have been to the cross will produce the fruit of the risen Christ. Not my statement, Pastor Collins. If we are prepared to say, as I sit here right now, I have died. I no longer live. It's no longer important what I want. It's now what He wants that matters more than I. I have ceased to matter in the equation. He now lives in me. That power is what I relate to. I don't relate to my own life, my own dreams and desires. Sadly, my understanding is it takes a little time for that revelation to get through to us. And the Lord allows us this time. He allowed Moses 40 years to sit in the back of a desert looking after a few sheep and some goats. Moses. And in that time, Moses became the man who could lead the children of Israel out of Egypt towards Canaan. God has no problem with you, your education, your race, sex, color. He has a problem with I. And when we come to Christ, what is meant to have happened is I was meant to have died. That's why we baptize people. We symbolically bury you in water. And we raise you anew in Christ out of the water as a symbol that you have died. You no longer live. Now Christ lives. And when we get people to that place, that's when we see revival come about. That's when we see lives change. Evan Roberts was not the only guy who sparked the revival in Wales at the beginning of last century. There were a whole history of through decades of men and women of God who had come to that place of dying to who they were and allowing Christ now to live through them. And he was just the last straw that broke the camel's back, to use an expression strangely. But he was the last guy who said, I count for nothing. Everything is Jesus now. And guys, this nation will be turned upside down by the first person who will come to that revelation. I count for nothing. Do you know, Pastor Colin told us a really amazing statement. How we know how much this has happened. He says, in testing times, we discover how realistically we are living on the other side of death. The moment somebody does something to irritate you, the moment some guy stands on the platform with the microphone and says things you don't want to hear, the moment your wife says something you don't like, the moment your husband says something you don't like, the moment your husband doesn't amount to what you hoped he would be, or the moment your wife doesn't become the woman you hoped she would be, or the moment somebody offends you at the coffee table, the extent of our reaction will define how far we're living on the other side of death. Why? Because dead people don't react. We don't. Dead people have no response to provocation any longer. Dead people now live as dead people. Now Christ lives. I no longer live, but Christ lives. Can I tell you guys, if we came to that place, London would begin to change dramatically. Oh, but I've got my life to live as well. I want to watch the whatever program it is I want to watch. I want to do this. I want to go here. I want to do that. Church isn't the only thing there is, you know. I got a life to live too. That's the problem. You got a life to live. Die to that life and you will see life like you can't believe. That power inside you, which is more powerful than the greatest nuclear bomb that the world will ever produce, is waiting to burst out of your life and change this world so dramatically that you will not recognize it. That power that will make you, your business succeed like nothing else will make it succeed. That power that will make you change your whole school just because you're in it, carrying that power. That power that will give you a marriage that looks like heaven put it together. That power is waiting to be released right now in your life. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 3. Verse 3. Can you read that for me?
What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar.
If God did nothing that you wanted him to do, if God didn't raise the sick, raise the dead, heal everybody around you, does it make God a liar? Is God being unfaithful? What do you think? I think sometimes we tend to think that. I think some of us get offended at God because he didn't do what we thought he should have done. But God's word says, God is true and every man must be a liar. Every man who says God can't be, God is not faithful, is a liar in God's sight. And God He's waiting for men and women who say, my decision of who God is and what he does is not based on my experience, but on my revelation. Remember I said you pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. That revelation will help you understand who he is. And you will no longer be disappointed in what he does and doesn't do, because your joy will not be focused in that. Your joy will be focused in him. And then he will begin to change the world around you. It's God's plan. Last thing, let's go to Romans chapter 8, please. And then we're nearly done. I'm going to start reading at verse 8. Light's not so great here. Or is it a 5? It is a 5. I'm sorry. It's such a tiny little 5. Okay. Those who live according to their own natural desires are always intent on getting what they want for themselves. Those who go say, I have a life to live. My life matters. I want this. I want that for my life. That is their focus. But those who truly want to please God by being led by his Spirit, make him their focus. That's a decision. Got to make you the focus. I'm not the focus anymore. Pleasing myself is not what I'm here to do. But those who truly want to please God by being led by his Spirit, make him their focus. Sinful thinking leads to spiritual death. But to allow your life to be under the control of the Holy Spirit will result in sharing in God's life and knowing his peace. See, he said it, I didn't say it. Sharing his life will allow you to know his peace and to share in his life. What's his life all about? It's like a million, billion, billion nuclear bombs, and it's even greater than that. He says, you can share in this if you make me your focus. That's Jesus I'm saying that. Sinful thinking is totally against God's will. Such attitudes show there is no submission to him and his purposes. For you cannot serve God while your mind is full of sinful, selfish thoughts. That would suggest you are being controlled by your desires, not his. So what is dying to yourself? It's saying, I want your desire now. I don't want my desire anymore. I don't want what I want. I want what you want. I have to. Can I tell you why there are so many Christians running around who are so bitterly dissatisfied with their life, who are seeing no joy, no victory, no triumph, nothing in their life, and they're saying, this has been going on for so long. For this is the only reason. Their focus is on fulfilling their own desire, and that's why they don't see it. And if you find this really irritating right now, and you think, gosh, I'm sorry I came. I'd rather have stayed in bed. It would be much better. I want you to know there's a spiritual battle going on right now in your brain. There's an enemy sitting there who's wanting you to not listen to this and not absorb this truth. If you resent me, if you say, I'd like to get up and give you a smack, that did not come from the Holy Ghost. That came from the other side. And he hates this. He hates Jesus to be Lord. What did Simon say on Friday night? He said, rebels become magnets to demons. The moment we rebel against God, we attract demonic influence. And the demonic influence sits on our shoulders and says, don't listen to him. Listen to me. He's just single-minded. Wants your money. Wants your time. Listen to me. You got a life you got to live. You got programs you haven't watched yet. The things you want to buy, places you want to go, things you want to do with your life. Marry the coolest babe in town. Listen to me. It's a battle. There's a warfare going on in your brain. It was so interesting when Simon got the guys on Friday night to shout, because we looked at Psalm 47 on Friday night, which you saw as we started the meeting, was shout unto God. He arises in the midst of the shout. So we began to shout, and it was so interesting. Half the people stood and looked at him. I don't want to shout. I don't want to do this. And he said, if there's a battle going on in your mind right now, you need to understand why. And gradually, the penny started to drop, and we all began to shout. And just about everybody joined in the shout at the end. Because they understood it wasn't something in me that was a problem. It was a lie that was I was listening to, which caused me to become offended. However, this is not the case with you. You are not under the control of selfish, sinful desires because you have surrendered your life to God to be under the power and influence of His Spirit in you. Ha-ha. Who actually lives in you. You're not to be Christians. You're not to be a Christian at all if you did. So I'll say that all over again. You would not be a Christian at all if you did not possess the Holy Spirit. Agreed. But because of His Spirit in you, Christ is in you, your body may still crave for its self-indulgence. Yes, it does all the time. Give me chocolate. Yet your spirit has now been brought to life by His Spirit so that in your heart you want to do what is right before God. You know, that's roughly how I figure out who's born again and who isn't, who truly has died and who hasn't. What do they want to do the most? What's their biggest desire in their life? What do they want the most will help us understand where they're living. This Spirit who lives in you is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. If He could do that, then He certainly is able to give God's life to your natural body because His Spirit lives in you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This means that you're no longer obliged to obey your sinful desires, my brothers and sisters. To do that would lead to spiritual death. I don't want anybody here to die in spiritual death and go to hell. I don't want anybody to do that. Do you know Jesus says that many will come to Him on the last day and say, Lord, Lord, in Your name, did we not drive out demons? Did we not prophesy? It's how people who say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. It's like Harry Potter. They don't even believe it. They don't even believe what the name of Jesus means, because if they did believe it, it would change their whole life. And something would happen when they said it. And Jesus will say to them, away from Me. I never knew you. Guys, there are people who are sitting in churches that one day will be rejected from the kingdom. You slept through the best. And you came out the other side. And the only reward was eternal separation from God. But I was in church every Sunday for years. All my life. And He says, away from Me. I didn't know who you were. You weren't plugged into Me. You were plugged into your own life. You were satisfying some guilt thing by turning up in church, but you weren't plugged into Me, the source of life. Now you have got Spirit in you, enabling you to rule over any lingering sinful desires to indulge your fleshly instincts. So the Spirit enables you to enjoy real life, not death. And what I was saying, Amira came from, she died, she came to life in Christ. But the whole thing is she had to die to old life to come to life in Christ. And she can have life in Christ forever. You see, those who live as God's sons are happy to be led by God's Spirit. Only the sons want the Spirit to lead them. The other ones don't want God's Spirit to lead them. Don't give me that Spirit stuff. Don't give me that submission to God stuff. This is a whole new world. Show me your signs and wonders and I might agree with you. Well, if you want to see signs and wonders, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to live? If you really want to see them, maybe you're going to live differently. Maybe you're going to get plugged into Jesus. And He's going to know you and you're going to know Him. And His desires are going to become your desires. And His life is going to flow through your life. And His power is going to flow out of your life. And you're going to live a completely different life because you got plugged into Jesus. That's your destiny, guys. What a terrible disservice I would have done you if I'd spoken some blessing word to you today. Say, God loves you. Which is truth. And He just wants to bless your life. He wants your life to be a cool place where good things happen. Chocolate 3 times a day. And you don't put on a pound. And then you might go to hell in the end of that. There's no point. The only point is that you would live forever and you would fulfill Christ's plan for your life while you live. You got it? There's only one thing you can do. It's the same thing Amira did last Sunday. Sorry, Amira, I keep picking on you. Once we baptize you, we'll stop. Every day, we need to get up and say, Jesus, I bring myself under your control. Holy Spirit, I want to live as a son. I want to be led by you, not by me. I want to die to myself. I want to die to my desires, my dreams, and what I think is important. And I want to live for Jesus. And every day, I need to make that declaration. And every day is the first thing I need to do when I open my eyes. I live for Jesus, and I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me. And the life I live by faith in Christ. Jesus will change your life. That mighty power inside of you will become more and more released through your life. And you will begin to change this nation and the nations of the world, which is what God's called us to do. You have a mighty destiny, an incredible purpose in God. But you can't find it in your flesh. You'll only find it in the Spirit. Does it mean you can't have any more fun? You'll have more fun than you ever knew what fun was. You'll think the stuff, the thing you think if the stuff you think is fun now will be so boring. Because you'll be raising dead people. It's more fun. Empty the morgue. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Do you know, Simon told me something on Friday night when we went home in the car. He said he went to the Ukraine with Cindy Jacobs as part of her ministry team. And he said Cindy was preaching on the platform and he was down with the other guys in the main thing. When a guy in the meeting suddenly manifested a demon. And he suddenly started manifesting. So they went up to this guy and they said all the things that they knew to say. You know, in the name of Jesus and what else? Blood. His blood's more powerful. Said all these cool things and nothing happened. This guy just kept on. And Cindy Jacobs eventually realized he was getting really disruptive. So she came down off the platform and she said the identical thing to that guy. And he immediately got delivered and got free. And Simon thought, why didn't it happen when I said it? And he went to the Lord that night and said, Lord, why? And the Lord said, Cindy spoke with revelation. The spirit of wisdom and revelation made her more aware of the power of the words she was using. They were no longer Harry Potter formulas. They were now the words of God with a full revelation of as I speak them, the full revelation of who Jesus is comes through my words and sets that person free. And they got free. Do you see the difference? Harry Potter, Jesus. It's the choice. It truly is. Harry Potter will just entertain you. It's bad stuff anyway. But Jesus will change the world through you. You have the choice. Let's stand together, please. I can't say this for you. Only you can say it. But you have to do something to make a statement in your heart that you're leaving the old country and you're entering the promised land where you live in all the promises. Make the decision to die to who you were and live to who you are in Christ. You have to make that statement in your own life. Over your own life now, I can't make it for you. But I'm going to ask you to make it. Please make that statement now in your own words. Say it. You have to end your old life. And you have to live for Christ. And you need to say it. Because you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. So you have to say it. And don't just speak in tongues because that doesn't help. Jesus.